working.
And working.
So it's been a real challenge. And very tiring too, because I'm not that strong. So at the beginning, a lot of lifting and stuff like that.
Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
You didn't bring your beautiful mom. I loved her. She said, I think I'm coming to.
I just wanted to tell you that I tried to squeeze in an appointment before this. So I actually thought I was running late. I thought the meeting started at 9.
Oh,
so when I got here, I was like, oh, well.
Oh, yeah. She can come to the next one. I loved her. And I love Lakeisha's mom. Lakeisha's mom is like,
why did we bring moms?
As a visitor, she came as a guest.
Bring them as a visitor.
Yes. I know, that's good.
Well, people like me.
Yes, that's good. And you're her mom, she said. That's what was cute. Yes. She's my mom.
Well, my mom says, I'd like you to meet my mom.
Oh.
But I've taken over that duty. What do they say? Once an adult, twice a child.
Yes.
I got
How are you, sir?
Minor mid.
Well, mm-hmm. When they get older, they do.
Okay. Thank you.
And sometimes not too early.
Following the instructions.
Okay.
And then you got Robin to change it.
They're very difficult sometimes.
Yes. Yes, let's see. Yeah.
I know with mine,
yes.
I feel
here's
like
the new one.
Yeah, to remind her to do things.
I think I'm okay.
You okay?
Yeah, I've had a sick cat. That's why I was just talking to the vet. That's not. And one ran away. It's been gone for 25 days. I don't think he's coming home. He had feline AIDS. I've been taking care of him for 8 years. He won't let me. Never will let me touch him. He came every night to eat. I put his medicine in his food. I trapped him twice. We get his shots. I gave him worm medicine. I took care of that boy. But we have so many foxes. And my neighbor said, I heard a horrible cat fight. And he had.
Yeah, my mom was
too good.
She died a while.
I think he might have went off and passed and was gotten a fight. Oh, my cat, I don't have kids. I have four with three with leukemia. My mama had leukemia, and she showed up as a stray 5 years ago. And her two children, her
partners,
she passed it on. One kicked it. So it's Patsy Cline, Loretta Lynn, Hank Williams, Cutie Pie, and Little Willie was the one that
had been left. Right.
Mama has a bad infection, had a bad infection. I didn't know. So she's just not doing well. So, and when they're leukemia, their immune system, it takes a while to heal, not like normal kitties.
Some are
wrong. So I've had at least 60
they got
cats.
Your hands.
I've had 60 cats, at least 60 cats. In
60
my
cats. In your life.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
right now, you have
pie, I have four in four, four and Little Willie hasn't come back in 25 days. So. I loved him more than all, and I couldn't touch it. It's the things you want that you can't have. It's like, I wanted to tame him, but he would not have it. And he set out on his little doghouse that I bought him, a wood log cabin. Of course, he's a cat, but he had it made. Loved the wind and the storms, and he wanted to be free. But I wanted to cremate him with Maynard and my Jasper. So I have two that are cremated, and my dad buried like probably 50 out in Luckett's on his property.
Oh, wow.
I built little boxes with carpet. They're my kids.
They're your children.
So it's been stressful this week having to leave them.
Anyway,
I saw Faith's contribution. Will you mention what she is?
Yeah, I got it. I'll cover that. Yeah.
Yes, she couldn't do more than
she's
two.
Something you got to give with her.
Something
wrong. It can't always be last minute.
No,
what is her job?
Have,
what does she do?
I don't know. She works in Sterling, or she works for the county still. But when you sign a commitment to serve, you need to.
Yeah.
Means you. And if you can't be here, then you don't do that. If you can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
that's where we were yesterday in a short
notice. When Tricia comes back,
very
be resolved there. So that's really.
Yes.
Exactly. How are we doing that? No, Richard's not going to be
here. No, Richard's not here. Of course, Faith's not here, and Marcia's in Italy. So she's told us she wouldn't be here. So we're missing three. We have to have four because we have an eight. We don't have, Mike's position still vacant. So we got three.
We have four.
And then we should have Lakeisha. So we should be. We'll be here.
Later.
Yes.
What does she got a chair in?
Yes, Lakeisha.
But she's a vice chair.
Oh, no, that's her That's her. That's who she's representing. Yeah, see, that just has the district.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have a title. Yeah, we're good. Uh-huh. How's your wife? Is she better, a little better, the same? How old is your wife? Did you tell me?
80. I'm
80.
I'll be
80. Okay, my dad's 87.
But, no, she's 12. She's always had asthma. That's one. And then the biggest thing last year was taking these teeth out. Side. And then, so she's that just ruined her because she brushes her teeth so many times and flosses. I'm the one who goes on. What happened is she went in for an x-ray last about a year ago, and the x-ray showed that there was a cavity, but the dentist never told her, so they just and he's gone. So she had a choice, either get implants or they get but besides that, she's got arthritis. She broke two glasses yesterday. We had like glass from Italy. Anyway, okay. a lot of different.
Okay, so more physical than cognitively, she's okay.
Oh no, she's okay.
It's just
no,
physical. And as you get older, things that would never bother you years ago really weigh on your mind, and that's. Like, and time, even time. You said like a structure thing.
Ready. And then putting all this stuff up. Don't do it.
Yeah.
So I thought of the, anyway.
It's trying on you. That's hard. Well, God bless you. Let's see what we got. There's Miss Amy. How are you, dear?
I was
driving to work this morning. I thought, I did send Amy that agenda, didn't I? I was thinking to myself, ooh, I love your outfit. See, I like denim jackets with things, too. And you and I are the silver. You like silver, like me. And you live up my way, so it's like we're country.
Yeah.
Well, I feel I'm a country girl. I'm proud I'm a redneck. I grew up that way, and that's how I am. I have a hard time in life now because people are just so not nice. Like when I grew up, you could ride back roads, wave at everybody, know everybody. Now it's like people just run you off the road. Nobody smiles.
Right. It's like, that kills me.
Out on 522 out by the airport. Yeah, that's where my father-in-law lives, right along the road there. Oh, they're all there. They're just like trying to merge it. And you'll get there one day, people. It's like, what in the heck are you so got to be there before? It's a mess there through that area.
Yeah.
My father-in-law loves that they did that cut through. Now I guess you come out and sit by Panera or like.
Oh, yeah, where you can come out.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
Good.
If you don't like where I sent you, then.
Oh.
Well, somebody must have took your. I thought you had been. Oh,
I think I took her. Oh, okay. Here.
Wow.
Your
face is bright.
Thank
you. That's
funny.
I thought it started at 9, so I'm like, oh, no. Okay.
There you go. Hold on. Thank you. Hey, get ready to start the recording.
I got the official gavel here. That's fine. No, go ahead. I don't know if this is the featured guest, I got whatever. All right. So, time for the. A Commission on Aging meeting will begin, and everybody should have a copy of the agenda.
There are extras here in the middle if someone didn't.
And I believe we have a quorum, so we can go ahead.
Yes, we do.
So first thing is called order, Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, and the next step is to approve the agenda. If everybody takes a look through if you want to make any corrections to it or approve it. I might want to make a motion to approve the agenda.
I move that we approve the agenda.
All in favor?
Did you second, Lyman?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
I love it. This is power.
This is cute. I don't have that.
Okay, yeah, we don't have anybody on the line, so I don't have to worry about. We do have a few people missing, but we do have a quorum, as I said. So the first thing, introductions, we're going around the table, and my name's Tony Fasolo, representing Leesburg District, and we'll go down this.
Samia Bahur, representing the Dulles District.
And I'm Terry Hauser, the Administrative Specialist for Area Agency on Aging.
Amy Nestor, Adult Protective Services.
Lakeisha McGurphy, at large, but I'm in the Dulles District.
Hi, Robin Burke. I represent the Broad Run District.
Lana Burton.
Hi, Leslie Kaplan with the AAA.
Yeah, I'm Lana Burton, and I'm Bill Rivers.
I'm Deborah Williams, Division Manager for Senior Services.
Okay, thank you. All right, so first the order of business is Annie. With the service agency.
So for the month of March, APS had worked a total of 145 cases. We received 56 new investigations and completed or finished 60 investigations. Two of the new investigations required a 24-hour response, so they were emergency situations. Four of our referrals were repatriations. That came in through the airport. We do those as well. And then we had five facility investigations. So nursing homes, group homes, things like that, that we followed.
Yes.
Repatriation. So that's a citizen that is in another country that's been there for a long time, and they're coming back here, wanting to come back to the U.S. And they... The U.S., they provide loans to help them move back. So we have to get that paperwork signed and help get them in a cab and get them to their final destination, whether a lot of times it's D.C. But because we're an international airport, we get a lot of those.
So you meant physically come through the airport when you said four?
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
So you find out that they're coming?
The State Department notifies us.
Oh.
And we coordinate with them, and then they set up, like, the flight and everything like that. We need to get there for
it. I didn't know that.
Are these special cases that the State Department got involved in?
Yeah, got involved in. And some of them have to have a mental health screening before we can release them. So a lot of times mental health will be working with us, alongside us. And they'll do a screening to determine if they need to go be hospitalized or something before.
What is it called?
A repatriation.
How do you spell that, Amy?
R-E, hold on, let me see. R-E-P-A-T-R-I-A-T-I-O-N.
Okay, I'll have it spelled. Is this like maybe somebody that's asking for asylum or somebody that's going to help?
No, they have to have been be a U.S. citizen.
Oh, they have had them in the U.S. citizen. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else? I just have one question with the five facility investigations.
Yes.
Is there any way to see what that was for and the results of it? Like, you know, if you have people looking for facilities, you want to make sure.
Right. That's a good idea.
So you can always go online to see their... It's not through us. It's through the licensing, but you can go on, if you look up for like nursing home licensing in the state of Virginia, you can, their reports will be in there. It doesn't necessarily, our reports, APS reports don't go on there, but the nursing home licensing reports are on there. Okay. And they show things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
We've got something here when it comes to comments. Thank you. All right. So, Leslie.
Yes.
Leslie, Tricia is still on jury duty right now.
Well, no. She's at V4A, which is the meeting, statewide meeting for all area agency and aging directors.
Oh.
So she's out of the area.
I knew she was on jury duty.
Yes, she was.
Busy lady.
Yes. So I'm going to give a presentation on the agency on aging, and I'm going to connect to that screen. And
okay.
I think I'm going to sit down just because of the glare on my screen down here. That's okay. I can move down there to the secretary, and then I'll.
No.
And then Lakeisha, you're presenting after, right?
Yeah, but I don't have.
Do you? Oh yeah. Yeah, it's like I just always forget to turn on the TV.
Oh.
Here we go. And I do have a lot of information and handouts and things that I'll share with everyone. Afterward. All right, so this is the Area Agency on Aging. As you know, we're part of the Department of Parks, Recreation, and Community Services. This is the cover of our program guide. We have this at all of the sites across the county. It's in medical offices, it's in libraries, it's all over. And I will get into outreach and what we do in just a moment. But these are real people, real seniors who live in the county. And this is part of our material. So just to give you some history, the AAA, that's what we refer to ourselves as. Our mission is to foster independence, healthy aging, improve the quality of life for older adults and caregivers. And that's really important to remember. We don't just help older adults, we also support caregivers. We are a federally mandated program. In the 1960s, there was the Older Americans Act, and that was created because there was a lack of services for older adults. And so the federal government mandated that state agencies, that the states create state agencies on aging. And in Virginia, it's DARS, which is the Department of Aging and Rehabilitative Services. And then at the local level, in jurisdictions, have area agencies on aging. So that's important for you to know, because if you move to another area, there will be a AAA or an office on aging in that area. Just some demographics, about 22% of the population is over the age of 55, about 95,000 people in Loudoun. These statistics are from 2022, so we'll have more, we'll have recent numbers, we get our numbers every year. So
it's probably growing.
It is. Okay, so the first point of contact, when an older adult or a caregiver contacts the Area Agency on Aging, they will speak with an aging program specialist. So either by phone, email, or coming into the office here on Miller Drive. And what our aging program specialists do, they are certified. There's quite a bit of training for them so that they are providing appropriate services for older adults and caregivers. But they will do a brief assessment. They will help with referrals and connecting to services. They listen, they dig, they're kind of like detectives trying to figure out what the issue is so that they can make appropriate referrals. So that's the first stopped for people who contact the agency. Now, this is part, this program, CREA, Communication, Referral, Information, and Assistance. We don't refer to it really as CREA. It's information and referral, but that's the technical name for it. But that's federally mandated. So that's part, that's Title 3B. Not important for you to remember, but just so you know, this is a federally mandated program. So we have guidelines that we have to follow. We report our information to the state because we receive federal funds for these programs. Also part of, oh, and actually I just want to mention one thing, going back to this, in terms of our growth. So in FY21, we had about 14,000 contacts with the community. So people would call, they would email, and that totaled about 14,000 over the course of the year. In FY23, it was 40,000. So there was a 173% increase in contacts in us providing that service. We have one full-time aging program specialist and then another person who will support her and is on the phones and assisting with clients about half the time. We did receive our enhancement request, so we will be receiving another, we were approved for another position. So we'll be able to sustain that level, because right now with one person and that growth, it's very difficult to meet the needs of the community.
So it'll be two full-time and a part-time? Is that
two, well,
What was the first year you mentioned?
So the first year was about 14,000.
Yeah, and what year was it?
Fiscal year 21.
So that was during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was curious if the pandemic had changed the numbers.
We did have an increase in numbers during the pandemic. And then now FY23, this last year, 2 years ago, that was 40,000. So huge increase. And the same people were, the same staff were handling that from 21 to 23. So we're very grateful for that position. Also part of 3B is outreach. And what we do is we have an outreach coordinator who, our outreach coordinator who's been on staff for the last 5 years. That was a new position that was created about 5 or 6 years ago. She is now a case manager, so we had an opening and we have filled it, and we have a new outreach staff member who's going to be starting this week, actually. So she will be responsible to raise awareness to older adults and caregivers about Parks and Rec and Loudoun County Area Agency on Aging. So all services and programs that are for older adults and caregivers. And what we do for outreach, we participate in health fairs and expos. Actually today, our team will be at the Ashburn Fair, the Wellness Expo today, this afternoon. So we have a table like this. This was at the Flower and Garden show last year. And we conduct presentations in the community. We distribute promotional material. Again, important to remember that our target audience is not just older adults, but it's also caregivers. And oftentimes a caregiver is an adult child or even a grandchild and may not be over the age of 60. So we really want to reach the greater community, not just older adults. It's our role to educate the public and share information. And to connect with community organizations, other government departments and divisions, and local businesses. And because of this, we are very strategic and intentional in our outreach efforts. So as I mentioned, we have an outreach coordinator. Our outreach activities include distributing materials at places of worship, medical offices, long-term care facilities, post offices, grocery stores, neighborhood HOAs. And one of the challenges in conducting outreach, though, to the older adult population is reaching those who are in more rural areas and people who are isolated. So what we've done over the years to address that and to bring those people in so that they are aware of services is we did this postcard. So this was sent to, I believe, over 14,000 addresses. Yep, 14,000 homes in Loudoun. This is just some of the zip codes in Western Loudoun that we were that we mailed the postcard to. And then another mailing was sent out last summer that was sent to caregivers ages 45 to 65, and then also to older adults ages 80 to 90. So we really wanted to target people who might be more vulnerable and then also caregivers who may not know that we're around mm-hmm. and could benefit from the services that we offer.
When was that campaign?
So we have done this, we did the first mailing in 2021, this postcard, mm-hmm. and then we did another letter last summer, and we'll be doing another big mailing this year as well.
So I'm wondering any correlation between that outreach and the number uptake in people reaching out.
So we do ask when people contact the AAA how they've heard about us, and we do have, we did receive more inquiries due to those mailings. And we also, I think, have received, just because the population has grown, I think, and all of the other outreach efforts, we have received more calls and contacts from that. But I do think that these are very effective, which is why we're continuing to do them.
Well, what about areas which are part suburban and part rural? For example, area code 20176, the top part, I think, is
yes.
rural. And then down here at 20105,
yes.
The western part is rural, the eastern part is suburban. So you're missing people in those two areas.
So what we did,
unless in some way you're figuring that out.
Yes. So what we did was we wanted to make sure that we were hitting, because we have, we're using grant funds, so we do have a budget for this, that when we first, we were doing this sort of a test to send this out to the western rural parts of the county where there are not like a community center. So in 20176, we do have a community center. We have Lovettsville Community Center. We have other parks and rec sites in those areas. And so we wanted to make sure that we were meeting people and sending them information where they may not have access or know that we have services for older adults and caregivers. So this was just the first run, and then we'll be doing more. With our grant funds for this. So I'll give you just another example of, so that was for a mailing. Just because they didn't receive a mailing in that first run doesn't mean that there wasn't outreach to that particular area. So here you can see just a sprinkle of what we've done mm-hmm. in this area. So Hamilton Baptist Church, Round Hill Grocery, Round Hill Baptist. So this is that's just a little list of that. But you can see here where we have conducted outreach: Middleburg, Aldi, Ashburn, Sterling, Bluemont, Lovettsville. So I hope that gives you an idea. And that was just a point in time. This was 1 month of the year where we hit these areas. Okay, so as I mentioned, we serve caregivers. We have a caregiver services coordinator. And her name is Betsy Dowd. I do have an org chart, a printed org chart, which I'll pass out for you today. But the point of caregiver services, this is also a mandated program. This is Title 3E. And the point is to assist family caregivers. We also do provide education and training and support for professional caregivers. But the goal is to focus on education to empower caregivers while they're on this caregiving journey. We all know how difficult it is to navigate, and so caregiver service programs are designed to train and empower caregivers. All of our programs here are free. Some of the education programs include webinars and in-person programs on legal and financial planning, how to communicate with a person with dementia, money management for caregivers. We also did a caregiver trip to the theater last year to provide some fun for caregivers. So we took a group of caregivers to see a show at Toby's. We also offer our SHARE program, which I have a flyer for you for that. That is for a certified SHARE counselor who will meet with the caregiver and the person with dementia. It's for people with early stage dementia who are early on in the process, who need to come up with a plan. What's the plan for care? Getting the caregiver involved and the person with the diagnosis together to come up with a plan. So the share counselor meets with them over 6 sessions, including an optional family session. So bringing the whole family in to talk about what the plan is. We do not charge for that program. There are other areas in the county, other organizations that, not in Loudoun, but that do charge for that program. So we do not. And then we also provide information and assistance, which is referrals for caregivers. We have caregiver support groups, one that meets on the weekend. We have one that meets at Carver Center. And then another one that meets is virtual. Well, our 2 of our groups are virtual right now, but we do have a hybrid where at times we will meet in person. And these are free and open to anyone who's a caregiver of someone with memory loss. So that's been the focus of the caregiver support groups. That's been the request. So we're looking at expanding that to having additional support groups. Currently, we also have a caregiver well-being circle, which is a weekly mindfulness program. So some of the support groups are peer support groups, and they're facilitated by a trained facilitator, but it's really for the caregivers to share information with other caregivers and talk about some of the difficulties and then get some ideas. How do you handle when you have to take your person to a medical appointment and they don't want to go, and then they problem solve? It's pretty powerful, and we have anywhere from 12 to 15 attendees who participate in those groups.
I have a question.
Sure.
Is the SHARE program similar to RAP?
No.
So what's it, isn't RAP quite similar?
So the RAFT program, which we're doing a training with them. Mm-hmm. It is different. We have, this is through, the SHARE program is through the Benjamin Rose Institute. I'd have to give you more information on SHARE. I mean, on the RAFT program, because I'm not as familiar with it as I am with.
Oh, I'm familiar with RAFT. I'm not familiar with SHARE.
Okay.
But it's the Benjamin Rose
Institute. That's okay. Who created the program, the SHARE program.
What is,
do you
what
want
is
to share about the RAFT?
SHARE and RAFT. I mean, it has to do with what, dementia? Or
it's for people with early stage dementia.
Okay.
Do you want to give a little
on RAFT?
Sure.
So RAFT is quite similar. It's the same. It's a program that is dementia-based. So they do a lot of counseling. They meet with families that have dementia somewhere in there. There's a parent or, a sibling even that has dementia, and they meet with them, and they have I don't even know if it's like 8 sessions where they're trying to help them get on track for knowing how to navigate people, their family members that have dementia. And they do so many sessions with them until that family member becomes comfortable. And then at some point, they eventually find that level of comfort, and then they kind of are able to back out. But they're always there as a resource if they need help. I don't believe that it's a paid program. I think it's
not sure. I do know our SHARE counselor, who's also one of our case managers, Lori, and then our caregiver coordinator, Betsy, is there giving a presentation to RAFT staff next week. So I can get information on RAFT and then on that particular case and report back to you all.
And they also work directly with the individuals that are in the early stages of dementia. They work with them personally. They also work with the family member or the caregiver personally. And then they bring them together to figure out how to best navigate. Because it takes a while sometimes for people to be open to the fact that they have dementia.
Yeah.
What does RAFT stand for? You know, I've seen it, but I didn't know what that meant. Or RAFT. No. Okay. I was just curious. I've seen it written.
Mental health.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this is a picture of caregivers who have attended, not caregivers, participants of a caregiver program. So we also,
at times will offer programs for the caregiver and the person they're caring for. We've had a sing-along event to bring them all together.
Yes.
Okay.
One quick question.
Sure.
So many, you mentioned that many of the services are free.
Yeah.
So do those come from local, state, or federal funds?
They're part of the grant. So from the federal government down to DARS,
mm-hmm.
and then to us. And then there'll be the local match that's required from the county that we use our grant funds for. So we have case management services. We have two case managers on staff, Lori Stahl and Erin Nesbitt. And the point of case management services is to provide supportive assistance to help older adults and caregivers to access services and supports in the community. So it takes it a step further than what information and assistance. So when someone calls and Mary Jane or Liz, when they give them that information, they might send it in an email or give them the information over the phone, and then that's usually it. This is ongoing. It can be ongoing. So they meet regularly. They have hours, set hours at the senior centers in the county, and then also at the adult day centers to meet with caregivers. And they can meet in the home, they can meet again at senior centers, adult day centers, or the place of choice. And referrals are received by clients, concerned family members, healthcare professionals, and others requesting case management services. So we do first do a screening, and then if they're appropriate for case management, then they're referred to the case managers. And this is a free program.
So they meet at the adult days and the school. Is it like a lunch and learn that they're doing?
No, they have set hours. This is a new service that they're offering. They have set hours where they will be meeting at each of the adult day centers, drop off time and pick up time when caregivers would be there dropping off their person. So
yeah.
The case manager is then a resource and can share information with the caregiver. So they're not working with the older adult, they're working with the caregiver.
So when does this program start? Or when does that start?
So they have different schedules with each of the different adult days.
But it's already started.
It's, I believe it's starting, what are we, in April?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they've started it yet in April, but or if it's starting in May, but we have a flyer, families are aware of it, and it could be starting May 1st or it could be starting this month.
Okay.
Congregate, so nutrition services. This is also part of, this is using federal funds and grant funds. So we have congregate meals. We have them at each of the senior centers and housing sites. For people over the age of 60, there's no charge, but donations are accepted. And then for people under 60, there is a charge per meal. So for example, if you have a couple and they want to participate in the program, if somebody's over 60, there's no charge for it. If they're under 60, there's a fee. You do not need to be a member of a senior center to access this program. If somebody wants to come in who's over the age of 60 to just have a meal, they can. If they want to participate in activities, then they do need to pay the senior center fee. And then we also have home-delivered meals, which is available to people over the age of 60 also who live in the county if they are at nutritional risk and unable to leave home. So oftentimes we have people who are being discharged from the hospital who can't prepare a meal of their own, and so they might qualify for home-delivered meals. And we have a home-delivered meals team that oversees that team, and they do assessments. They go in the home, they do assessments to make sure that people are eligible for meals. And then they manage that entire program. So we have home delivered meals and then congregate meals.
Now, is that income based or
how
is
that? No. Needs based.
And you can pay, they don't require any payment, but I know several will do. And then
yeah.
Pay. And it's basically, surprising, I've heard, and one of the places I always go to Riverside, you know, data community, but it doesn't matter. I've heard people who are or what not to do, but, you know, this can't care if you don't know.
Or they might have bedroom issues, change the food, so you can pay meals to move.
What's the turnaround time? Like, if someone is in the hospital, they get out, how long does it take for their meals to be delivered once they?
Deborah is pretty fast. Deborah Mobley is pretty fast at doing that. I know you all make a ton of referrals to her. But I don't think that, I think that, I mean, her goal is to get a meal out as quickly as she can.
Is it lunch, breakfast, or lunch?
It's a noontime meal. Yeah, and it's delivered by volunteers. And oftentimes, that volunteer is the only person that the older adult comes in contact with. That when they do need to give, you know, give them the meal so that they see that it's for the older.
Is that also a vehicle to distribute information?
Yes.
If they come with a flyer, the schedule, and
Central kitchen prepares the meal. And they come in little microwave trays for the hot meal, and there's a full pack of the little milk, dessert, you know, and piece of bread or muffin. In my case, I go to Leesburg Senior Center, pick it up from there, and it's ready at 11 or 10:45, and then I usually get it all done by noon. There are five different groups. I mean, you get an idea of the number of people. And like you said, I try to find something to say every time I go there. But I may be the only one guy who's baseball and just to say. And it's also a good way to check on it.
Yes.
Something, you know, that's perfect. It's really good for.
And how do you get involved? Like, if you
want
to be involved, too.
Okay. I can give you that information when I talk about volunteer services, but that would be great. Yeah, and it's, I mean, we couldn't run this program without volunteers, so, yeah.
Do you have the same route all the time, or do you?
I do. I have, but I mean, there are always openings. Some people can't make it certain days, but you can volunteer as often as you want. Yeah.
Now, is pickup available, or you pick up to go to one of the senior centers?
You just come down to the senior center.
Okay. So all of this is available in Western Mountain as well.
Yes.
I've been on some of those Western Mountain roads way, way back, and kind of a far piece back there from me.
So Debbie creates the routes, Debbie Mobley, and so if there's a route that's not available, then they'll do frozen meals. So there's a drop off, and then those meals will last.
Yeah, but places like Sable Road up on the other side of Hillsboro.
Yes, that's lovely.
That's pretty far. And it's dirt.
I don't know. Personally, I've been out for, you know, Route 9. I've been out that way. I don't know about that. I'm sure there's different people on top of that.
Miss Lina, where do you live?
Well, I grew up in Hillsboro.
Oh.
And so that's why I'm familiar with that area. And my best friend was on Sable Road.
Okay.
And I have been on it recently to take a picture of the house she grew up in, the senator. Oh. So I know it's way out there, it's dirt, it's a long distance from Leesburg. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the village of Aldie is?
No. Oh, you have to go up there. What is it?
I don't know. On the way to Middleburg.
On the way to Middleburg.
Mm-hmm.
On the little shop.
Yeah.
Do you know where the Lama pastry it was?
No, but I know isn't there a Harris Teeter or a Safeway there?
Yes, Safeway. It's in Middleburg.
All
I know.
We don't even have gas stations.
No.
No, I don't think I've been that far.
Okay. It's on the other side of Route. It's on the west side of Route 50.
So after Middleburg.
It's before
Middleburg. It's a little town you go through.
It's just a little town.
There's an old mill there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I live, right there, right in the center of the mill.
Okay.
So cute over there, too.
Yeah, I know
where that
is. Yeah, it's very cute.
So the meals, the home-delivered meals and the congregate meals, those are all made at Central Kitchen. And that was, we talked about last time, that Central Kitchen, they produce about 180,000 meals every year.
That's amazing.
Quite a lot, quite an operation there. So senior centers, and Deborah's here if you have questions, but I'll just give you the the quick overview. So there are 5 senior centers in Loudoun. And just to mention, so this is not something that we would typically share with the public because it doesn't really matter. We're all part of the same organization. But the senior centers are under the senior center function in Parks and Rec. So they are not under the AAA, but we are very close. We run programs together. We work together. But they have their own function. They're not technically under the AAA. So
we have a leader.
And we have our 15 senior centers here. So we have there are 5 senior centers. Membership is $32 if you're a county resident. It's 36. Oh, it's 36. I didn't update this. 36 and 54, right? 36 if you are a Loudoun County resident. 54 if you're out of the county. If you belong to one, then you can go to any. There is bus transportation. It depends on the route. Congregate meal site, and this is for well and active people who are over the age of 55. And they're membership based. They offer free programs, classes, special events, education programs, cultural activities. As Deborah always says, each center has its own vibe, and that's what's so interesting about them. On our website, there is, you can click and view each senior center's newsletter, see what their activities are, because they're all offering different programs, very exciting, fun, innovative programs. So, anything you want to add? We also have our adult day centers, and these are under the AAA, but they are designed for people who may have memory loss, cognitive impairment, dementia. Most of the participants have dementia. There are 3, 1 in Ashburn, 1 in Leesburg, and 1 in Purcellville. There is a fee to participate in the adult day program, but it's a sliding fee scale. So it depends. It ranges from $16 to $96 per day. So if your income is at the very top on the sliding fee scale, the most you would pay is $96 a day. So 5 days a week, I mean, you're looking at $500 a week, $2,000 a month. It's far less expensive than a long-term care facility. So these centers, it's a home-like environment. They offer supportive programming, music therapy, art therapy, pet therapy. And really, it's for the person so that they have purpose, but also for the caregiver so that they have a break. They have rested. They do. They have done pet therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So each center has their own programming and their own special events and things that they do. And each one feels different. So if you have a bin, you can call and meet with one of the managers and get a tour. And they do also, they will give help with toileting and will provide medication. So if the person takes medication, they'll do that.
And I guess meals and
things. Yeah. Yes. They do not, they don't have a nurse on staff. That's the only thing. So they don't serve anybody who has special nursing needs. Okay, next is our chore core program. This is also another program that helps people age in place. So this is run in a partnership with Loudoun Volunteer Caregivers. And some of the things that they will do, they'll help with installing grab bars. So say an older adult needs assistance with packing for a move, taking out the trash, yard work. They can call Loudoun Volunteer Caregivers. They do an assessment. They will link the person with a volunteer who will come to their home. And for the example of grab bars or changing light bulbs, the older adult will pay for the grab bars. They'll pay for the light bulbs, mm-hmm. but there's no fee for the labor or for
Do you know what the turnaround time is for someone coming in?
I don't, because it really does vary. Yeah, it really varies.
Okay. So at the end, just income based or just the whole spectrum? And a donation would be appreciated, probably.
You know, they don't, it doesn't say so on there on the flyer that we have. So I'm not sure how they handle that, but
there is no fee for the service. And
also depends on
the
number of
volunteers. Yeah. So I had a neighbor years ago had dementia and lived alone.
This will help my dad.
And she was in charge. She was the gardener. Mm-hmm. And so she died, and he could still live at home independently, but his yard, he couldn't keep up with it. So he was able to have a volunteer from this program who came out every week, mowed his lawn in the spring and fall, would mulch and weed and plant flowers.
That's amazing.
Have the gardeners gotten involved? You know, I don't know. I don't know because I don't work with the volunteers.
Oh, you'll learn that.
Yeah. This is a partnership with the AAA and LBC. So they do all of the volunteers and the matching. Yeah. But that's a great idea.
That's awesome.
And then our Medicare counseling program. This is VICAP, Virginia Insurance Counseling and Assistance Program. This is also a mandated program. It's part of the federal SHIP program, which is State Health Insurance Program. And this is for Medicare counseling and assistance. It's non-biased health. So you're not going to be sold on a plan. This is for people who have questions about enrolling in Medicare, who want to make changes to their prescription drug plan, who perhaps they've received a bill and they thought Medicare was covering that service and they need help. So they are certified Medicare counselors, but they are also advocates. So they'll help assist. They provide assistance via phone, email, or in person. They request that clients will call and discuss their questions or problems, and then fill out and return any necessary paperwork, and then set up an appointment if needed. They have very complex cases. We're seeing more and more really complex cases that our counselors are dealing with people who are calling in. And so they're spending, it used to be where they were quick, you know, they can help somebody within an hour. They are spending hours, sometimes days, working with people on some of these questions and challenges that they're having. So next, in June, you'll hear from Mary Lou Wilkins, and she's on our team. She is the coordinator for this program, and she'll give you all of the statistics and all of the information about that program.
Amazing. I mean, they save thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I see the report from them, and the work they do is really great.
And it's also free. And Mary Lou and her staff are at the senior centers also regularly, and they give presentations in the community as well. Another federally mandated program that we have is the Title 3D, which is Disease Prevention and Health Promotion. This is a very small program, but and it's over, the person who coordinates it is our new caregiver coordinator. So her position is Caregiver Services and Health Promotion Coordinator. So what she does is she'll provide technical assistance to sites that are running programs. So, for example, we have our SAIL program that's run at the senior centers right now. And over the years, we've tried different programs. That one is very popular. Lakeisha can tell you all about it, but it's a very popular program. The requirement, though, for disease prevention and health promotion for Title III programs is that they have to be evidence-based. So we have a list of programs that we can run. They have to be evidence-based programs. So we're doing SAIL at all the senior centers, and Betsy will, she'll provide support to sites. She can help them get linked up to training, purchasing materials and supplies, and then inputting their data. So for all of our programs, we have to document, collect the data, we input it into our database, and then that is counted in our county numbers, our performance measures, as well as what we send to the state every month.
Did you know that the adult day in Ashburn, they also have SAIL funds?
Yes, they do. Yeah.
And they're not free. There's a fee for those.
At the senior centers, yes. However, at Leesburg, we do, if someone is qualifies, considered low income, then they can pay a percentage of the fee. Now, at the adult day centers, there is not a fee for the program.
It's just it's a benefit for the participants who are there daily. Next is our senior trips program, and this is for older adults, 55 and older, who are independent. There's a wide range of trips. Terry Fleming is the contact person for that program. They have their trip registration May 8th, so mark the date if you're interested in going on any trips, because they do fill up very quickly. But transportation is provided, and they have a variety. So Spain and Portugal is one of the trips for this year, Canadian Rockies, but also day trips, museums and theater,
casino.
They are popular.
Sells out quickly. Yes.
And fees apply, and registration is required for all of those trips. Okay, we're almost finished. The long-term care ombudsman program. So this another mandated program. In Northern Virginia, for our AAA, it's the Northern Virginia Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program. This is run out of Fairfax. We pay into the program, and they run the program for all of Northern Virginia. So what this is for, there's volunteers who are trained who will be set up at each of the long-term care facilities in a county, in a jurisdiction. And they are there to advocate for improving the quality of life for people who are in the facility. They help resolve complaints. They do counseling. They provide information about long-term care providers. They educate the community. And they visit long-term care facilities on a weekly basis. So Fairfax, AAA, they run this program for all of Virginia.
So for that... The ombudsman.
Uh-huh.
There was an ombudsman, and I was at Heritage Hall. Is that through?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then volunteer services. So there was a question about how to become involved in home delivered meals. So we have a volunteer services team. Dr. Bressler is the volunteer coordinator, and then we have her assistant Andy, who also sits with the program, and there's a wide range of things that you can volunteer for, maybe being a Medicare counselor, Medicare advisor, helping out at the senior centers, doing home-delivered meals, being a community ambassador. There's a wide range. So the person that you would contact for that is Deborah Bressler, and there's a whole process to become a volunteer.
Can you explain the community ambassador?
Yes. So the community ambassador program, that was actually the idea of one of our Commission on Aging members. I believe in 2015, Bill Mahoney, he was on the commission, and he had this idea of how do we get the word out, because at the time we didn't have outreach staff. It was just me doing outreach for the AAA and doing health fairs and sending out information. And so he had this idea of, let's start this program where we have people, let's have an ambassador everywhere where seniors gather, everywhere where seniors meet. So it could be HOAs, places of worship, church, yeah, long-term care, continuing care retirement communities, groups like the Red Hats Club, they're not called that anymore, I can't remember what they're called, garden clubs. And so basically we trained a group of people. We gave them all of the information, this presentation that I just gave you, and more. So DFS, Adult Protective Services, and Adult Services gave their information, Fire and Rescue their information. And so we would meet quarterly and do these trainings, and then they would take the information, which was a binder, and they would bring it back to their community, and then they were the point person in their community. Their role was not to counsel or to provide case management or to do any kind of care like that, but they were there as the point person. So somebody could put a social media post on Facebook. Were you aware of the Area Agency on Aging and Home Delivered Meals? Contact me for more information. They would put that in their neighborhood Facebook page. And then someone would contact them, they'd give them the information, and then they would give them, and then the person would reach out to us. So this has been a very successful program for our community ambassador program.
That's Deborah.
That's Deborah Rosler. And then just to show you, over the years, we've won several awards, national awards for the program, for programs that we've offered. Deborah, her team received the an innovation award for their senior summer camp program. And we've also received awards for our caregiver program, and the community ambassador program. Oh, and our volunteer handbook. So lots of awards over the years.
What's
for
the senior summer camp?
Oh, it was just the one time. No, we did it.
Yeah,
couple times.
They went rafting, hiking.
Just like the kids have summer camp. Right. You know, senior summer camp. Jump right.
Are you going to do it again?
We would consider that, yeah.
How many people were in there?
At the first one we did was 17. We had to limit the program.
Right.
Because we were, you know, sending kids from fishing. We were hiking.
Rafting? Did you go rafting?
Yeah,
whiteboard rafting?
Yes.
Yeah.
Five days a week?
It was,
yeah. 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 Yeah, it was me.
Yeah. But it's something that we consider every year. I just need someone that can put it together. Because before, I did with a couple of staff. So we know how it should work.
Right,
So, yeah. But that's something we need.
So I'm going to leave a bunch of flyers here, and then when you're leaving today, just feel free to take what you're interested in. But for example, for our caregiver program, we have mental health first aid for older adults. This might be something that you might want to take. It's a free program here on April 30th and May 1st, and that's mental health first aid for older adults. And then so we have lots of information here. Feel free to take what you like, and then I'll we also have our org chart, and then our one pager, well, it's really a two pager, but all of our information. This was also a Commission on Aging members' idea of just one sheet with all of the programs and services, so that I can take this into the community and pass it out. So,
that's great.
Richard,
you all have had
Richard Payne. I'm not sure if that was his.
Questions, and if you have any ideas, let me know.
Okay. Is the PDF going to be available to us?
So I can send you a copy of the presentation if that's helpful.
Yeah, you send it to me and I'll forward it. Okay.
I have one last question. Sure. Should I reach out to the community outreach person? Because there's organizations that want to have like a series on aging. So, for example, like the NAACP and the African American Community Association. So they're looking to have people come in or be trained so they can then share the information within community. Who would be the best contact?
So for you can contact me. You can send an email to Terry.
Okay.
And then we would. So what we do is we give this presentation on what is available.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for a speaker, if any of you are looking for a speaker on a specific topic, like you want somebody to come and talk about dementia behaviors or memory, then I have information of who I would refer you to for that. So if it's information on resources in the county, then we would do that.
Okay.
Seems like it's a great opportunity for a community ambassador.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And somebody in the nation.
You need to be an ambassador. Yeah.
I was
present up all of our meetings.
Any other?
That was very good.
Yeah, great question.
Okay, we have another presenter.
Yes, we do.
I'm going to be very short and sweet, and that is because, well, I thought that today I would have had all of my platforms for InVen completed. We had to push our meeting back, so it's actually tomorrow. So I can tell you what they are, but we haven't completed the language for it. But you'll see it in the next InVen meeting because it's going to be, we're going to discuss platforms. So right now, I am writing to cost-free CNA training, and this will help with workforce development, but it will also help to reduce the shortage of that's in nursing home and long-term facilities. We're trying to link it to oh gosh, I can't even think of the name. There's a current funding that we're trying to see if we can link it to, and I can't think of the name of it right now. I've been doing this for 4 days, so I'm getting it confused. But and again, tomorrow is the meeting to try to determine how we can link this to something else to give it a bigger chance, a better chance of passing. Not only the InVen committee, but also getting it to legislation, making it make sense, and then hopefully it would pass on to Senate and eventually the governor. But what I do know is I had a conversation yesterday at Heritage Hall with the regional director, and right now she is an advocate for this particular platform. Just last session, I guess the governor was trying to put in some mandate, and what is it? The long-term nursing facilities were against the mandate because they need workforce development before they can have these other mandates get into place. So this particular platform aligns to what the nursing home facilities are trying to do. So we stand a good chance. We have a lot of support right now from long-term facilities. So it's just a matter of getting the language down and figuring out how to connect it to a current funding that's already available. Does that make sense? Okay.
There's so many avenues of connection, though, because a lot of facilities, like the Brightviews and the Woodwoods of the world, they have like tuition reimbursement, so mm-hmm. they can allocate those funds to this program to get them trained before their employees.
Yes. There's
many ways that I'm saying that you could offset just federal or state funds.
You're right.
Corporate input.
Yes.
And support.
Yes. And with this training, so this training was this training program was already done in Minnesota. That was like the pilot program, mm-hmm. and it was successful. So we also have that to tie it back to. And it was just a 1 year, pilot. So now we want to try to get that here in Virginia. This works because this one specifically works for me because I am a CNA. So the idea is that I will also be able to speak to it on a personal level.
Akisha, this might play into what you're talking about right here. I mm-hmm. mentioned it in comments, but I'll send you that you're there.
You have the nursing home?
This is a good time.
Yeah.
There's an article in the Post on Saturday, Algorithms Guide Senior Home Staffing. Managers say care suffers. Did any of the rest of you
know? No. Can I see it?
Yes.
You may see it.
I actually had it in an email. That's the only way I can think of to print it out.
Oh, okay.
I can print it out any other way. 13 states require minimum staff to resident ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Only 13. Mm-hmm. Virginia is not on it. Theoretically, and in one state it did happen, they had several buildings and only one caregiver for the several buildings in another state. There's several horror stories in here about they just won't have the staffing. What has happened? Private equity has taken over so many of the and they have gotten into this algorithm thing to who try to determine how many minutes it takes to give a person a bath,
yeah,
or to toilet something,
mm-hmm,
or to do whatever has to be done. And if you can't,
you can't.
That,
no.
You just can't do
no.
that. But as a result, they decide that 5 employees can do this amount of work,
mm-hmm,
when actually they need 7
mm-hmm.
or 8. Mm-hmm. But they've only got the 5. And
mm-hmm.
this is something, I read this and I thought, this is horrifying. And Virginia has no minimum staff ratio, staff to resident ratio law. So I can send this to Terry,
mm-hmm,
and you can, it's in the form of an email, because I have to, that's the only way I can print it out. Terry might be able to.
Mm-hmm. Keisha, would you like to have this copy?
Yes.
Yeah, you can have that copy.
And then we can fix it.
Okay.
Thank you.
So
this is perfect time. And absolutely.
When you said that, I thought, oh my gosh, you're talking about the same thing. This is your wheelhouse.
That's good.
Terrific.
That's
thank
good.
You. Okay.
And also with Keisha, mm-hmm, it could be a track at the Academy of Science. The Loudoun, what is it? Loudoun Academy.
Uh-huh.
They have,
yes,
an Academy of Science,
yes,
that do, you know, pharmacy.
Yes,
that's
my CNA. Yes, my mm-hmm. CNA. So the idea is to get NOVA, like the community colleges, places like the Loudoun Academy,
mm-hmm,
to participate in this,
yeah,
program. Yes,
mm-hmm,
exactly. When I went to CNA school,
mm-hmm,
a lot of the instructors came from Loudoun Academy.
Oh, good.
Believe it.
Yeah. The other, so the, now this ties to what Leslie was just talking about. So the other, I'm only assisting with writing to this, and I'm only doing this because I'm learning, right? This is all new for me. This is my first time actually taking it on full-fledged. But there's going to be a caregiver tax credit. I don't have all the details because it's not mine specifically. However, the idea is that there would be a tax credit for the caregivers that are taken care of. It's I think it's $1,000, but it's just to help offset some of the expenses that you would have to incur taking care of family members. I don't have all the details to that. Again, tomorrow is a big day, but I like that one because you know,
mm-hmm,
you just don't realize how much money you put out when you're taking care of family members. And then this one is very near and dear to me. Okay, I am writing this one myself. However, I don't even know if it's going to be ready for tomorrow. But it's a post-incarceration community type credit. The idea is that when seniors are returning citizens to, you know, back into society, that they will have somewhere to go. So whether it's a nursing home that they need to be in, or whether it's a transitional home, as of right now, when people return to the community, they're in hotels. And they can be in hotels for up to, in Loudoun, I think it's 4 weeks. In Fairfax, it's 2. And it gets expensive. And there are no transitional homes here specifically. There's one in Alexandria, but it's for women only. And then there's one, there's an individual who will sometimes house someone, but they don't do it for a long period of time. When aging adults are returning from prison, they don't have anywhere to really go unless there's a family member that would take them in. So the idea is to, and again, this literally came to me last night only because I had a conversation with the Department of Corrections a year ago. Well, I had another conversation last week, and their main concern is still housing. It's at the top of their list. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you know this, but there was a second look bill, it's a House bill, that was vetoed. And that bill was to release incarcerated people who either served 20 years or more, or were aging and no longer at risk. That bill was vetoed, but in some way, I'm hope they're going to bring it back again next year, right? That's already been established. However, I'm hoping that if I can get this particular platform to go pass NVAN, to get approved by NVAN, that it can kind of work in conjunction with the second look bill, which has been a bill that they've been trying to get passed for, I think, 3 years now.
Chair Randall might be able to help with that.
I spoke to her.
You
know, and we talked about this. Yeah.
That's her.
I spoke to her about this, and Delegate Siebel, who is very into returning citizens. So there are more meetings to come, but in the midst of all of this, I'm just, because this is my first time doing this, I'm just trying to connect the dots, figure out who we can get support from, and I think that it would be something that DARS would be able to help with. But the idea is to have a 90-day stay. If it's an individual or a home, it would be a 90-day stay, perhaps some type of certification for these seniors. However, there may have to be tiers to it because you never know at what level that person's coming out of prison, so they could be, they may need a nursing home. With that, if it's a nursing home, perhaps it would be some beds set aside for returning citizens, which was part of the reason for my conversation at Heritage Hall yesterday. But there's, you have to really think this one through because, you know, not everyone is open-hearted to people who have been in prison. Right?
No.
So you really have to think this through and figure out how to make it work. But if they're no longer a risk, you know, you kind of hope that there's a way to figure out how to do this. But again, that's the one that I'm working on. I don't even know if it's going to be ready by the time we meet with NVAN, but I'm praying for the best. I just have to figure out how to write it. If anybody has suggestions, this is why I wanted to bring it to you guys. So that you guys can kind of throw ideas at me, because some of this stuff literally came to me yesterday from a meeting that I had yesterday. So I'm kind of just putting it on
there. So many variables in that. You know, if somebody's ill or somebody you can.
Right.
And what has happened in prison? You know, I know they have a lot of rehab programs to try to make people productive citizens. So.
Right.
So how did that go?
That's a part of the second look bill, yeah. Right? If they've had some form of rehabilitation while they've been they should be.
It's hard enough to acclimate back into society without having to worry about how. I just think about that movie Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Redemption, and they come out, and you know that's all they've known, and they feel lost, and they can't fit in at jobs, and you know, and the whole world is past them.
Right.
It's a Yeah, it's hard.
I think it also kind of relates to affordability, right? So if you're coming out of prison, you don't have a job, you probably don't have money. So some way I would probably try to relate it to affordability, because if they came out rich, they just go to Walton and live their life,
but if they had nothing.
Just don't have the income.
Right.
So on that other piggyback, I was thinking just like builders, like Toll Brothers. All the builders have to set aside ADUs, right, according to dwelling units. I think that should happen in luxury senior living, where some of the units that they have in these places should be affordable.
Mm-hmm.
They all shouldn't be $10,000
a
month. Right. They should be required if they're doing business in Loudoun that they set aside some units as ADUs.
So,
yeah.
Mr.
They would have very little social security. Correct.
Right.
They didn't work coming out of prison.
Yes. Right. So that's part of the reason why this, it's a community credit where there should be some way, there's some funding that can be provided to the person that's taking them in, if they choose to do that, right, for the 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens after 90 days, I have no idea.
Right.
But if you could at least get 90 days, right, just to get your mind right, kind of get acclimated, you could figure something out. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the person you're staying with may know. Or have a resource,
and they can fill out their paperwork to get an ADU at a facility.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
you might need to be careful about getting into landlord-tenant problems there. You can't ask someone to leave if they become a problem, or at the end of their 90 days,
exactly.
That can become a problem.
Mm-hmm. Maybe what the solution is just is that we really
We've talked about this several times. The ADUs are important, but maybe not in the higher level living because, you know, people go there for a specific reason. They need to build more ADUs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a necessity. Not everybody can afford $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 a month. So, you know, there's got to be just some affordable dwellings that are put into a community with each other. Maybe that would work out better.
So I'm glad you said that because, and you as well, because the person that I'm working with, Mr. Michael, he's actually working on an affordable housing. That's one of his initiatives. Mm-hmm. So when we meet tomorrow, I'm sure I can mention
but there's space in any of these communities. They're not on a wait list. They're needing people to move in. So if they can, I don't know of any facility that is on a wait list.
Not the affordable dwellings,
correct.
But the other ones
correct.
Are, those are packed.
Wait, so
people
ones,
are waiting.
Places like Waltonwood, the Ashley, Hessler House, spaces.
And there's criteria for living there, I believe, too. So it's not something very expensive, $10,000, $8,000. But there are people that can afford it. There are people that can afford it.
What I'm saying is just like Belmont Country Club, those houses could be $1 million, but they have to set aside some that are affordable.
Yes.
Same thing. Every community you go to, there are homes that are affordable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just suggesting that if you're doing business in Loudoun County, you do the same as other residential communities. It's a residential community.
Yeah.
There should be some place in there that's affordable.
I think what you're getting at, you're favoring that, for example, I don't think that's your policy.
Yes. Who can afford a $500,000 body?
But maybe you can set aside a certain number of units. The people coming out of where they've been incarcerated.
Yeah.
And not necessarily even incarcerated. I'm just saying it just
in general.
That have Social Security. Yeah. They can pay. They can pay something, but they don't have the $500,000 buy-in.
Yeah,
but they could probably pay rent. So the Ashby Ponds is taking up how much space here in Loudoun County? There should be some affordable units in that community.
So last session, the session that just passed, we tried to have a 2% set aside in nursing homes for low income. That bill was eventually dead toward the end. Yeah, it died. 2%. Right?
So we best go back around the bottom of the apple.
Yes. Right? You just keep going back until something happens. But when I tell you, again, this was my first time doing it. My heart was broken because how do you not just set aside 2% for just a bed? It's just a bed, right?
Okay.
You're talking about a whole house or an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only imagine what that would be. But this is where if you're passionate about it, you just keep going. You just keep fighting for it until something happens.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Eventually, you turn on you and give it to
them. Yeah.
Or the data builds of why it's important and you get paid support and other support.
So I'm learning as I go, but those are the three areas that I plan to address this session for InVan for platforms.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. The fourth thing I have to say is in my conversation with Chair Randall, which this leads back to you, Leslie. She wanted the commission to think about how we can help support caregivers. So you just gave, that's why I was asking all those questions and writing all this stuff down. You guys already do a lot. So it's kind of one of those things where you see a fit for us. Okay. So
what we mean. I mean,
yeah.
Because there's a lot of caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
We have one person who supports caregivers on our staff. So
We need more support.
Yeah.
Okay. And let me ask you this. What would that look like?
Well, that's on us. I mean, we have our data and just putting in requests, and we're really grateful for this position that we received, and so I think, you know, we have to do that again. But I'm very happy to know that others see that there's a need for caregiver support.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, you don't know what's out there until you're in it.
Right.
You don't know what you don't know, and it's the blind leading the blind.
Mm-hmm. So that's why we are here, to be that resource and to be that support.
Could we, and Mr. Dunbar, I don't know, but could we, like, since I'm on the advisory board at the Ashburn Center, could we request to have like a lunch and learn or a TED talk with someone specifically for the caregiver, so that they're in the center where the people are who are taking care of their husbands and their wives?
Okay. We've done, we have done programs at senior centers. We did a really big one on mental health. At Leesburg, we did an art workshop at Ashburn on the weekends for caregivers. So we do.
Okay.
And yeah.
Okay.
So we can do that. If the senior center staff requests it, we also have our caregiver coordinator who is arranging programs, and we have all of our virtual programs in a library, which is a resource for all of you, for the public. And we'll be sending out information on that, how to access those presentations.
Okay.
All right.
And
moving right along. Meanwhile. You're right.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I was just joking.
Oh, you're trying to be funny. Okay. All right. So moving right along, yeah.
Approval of minutes.
Okay. Public guest comments.
None.
Approval of the previous minutes. We met last time on the 12th of March. Everybody have a chance to review them, see if there's any corrections needed, addition. If not, I have a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Thank you.
Second. Petition. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.
Abstain? Anybody? Okay. All right. My report. Yes. I'll say that. So, first of all, Faith couldn't make the meeting today, and I asked her if she had any comments to make. So, it's really kind of neat, because what she asked to be presented is what Les just gave us. We need to brainstorm how we can outreach the community, that's already been set up a COA table. How do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
I guess the Leesburg garden show again, probably somebody.
We are not doing it.
Not doing this year, okay.
Because the staff support that's required, it's very long.
Oh, okay.
2 days.
But you do go other places.
We do. We will have someone, I'm sure, who will be going, but we are not having a table this year.
Okay. All right. But anyway,
you'll be in the fair today.
Yeah, everything that she says here, we're doing.
And okay.
I've just mentioned that. So that's bylaws. I asked Terry to send the bylaws out to everybody. Did you all get a copy of the bylaws?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There'd be a test after this week. No. I just wanted to highlight a couple things. Just a reminder that we are an advisory and advocacy commission. We don't actually implement them.
And a good example, though, is how you can get things done is what Mike Wilkins did last year with the trails, the accessible trails. Mm-hmm. He was on the committee here. And he suggested that as something that he'd like to see done. And he worked with Steve Torpy and the people to get that done. So he wasn't actually the guy, he was like maybe the instigator or somebody that helps push it along. So that's the kind of thing we can do. And we can also be on other committees, you know, a transportation committee that Loudoun County has. There. We can also form our own committees to look at that. And we all know the membership is based on the term of the supervisor that appoints us.
I did have one thing on that. I think it says 60, that you have to be at least 60.
Oh, we have to have a minimum. I think it's not everybody, but there's a certain percentage of the board. Let's see if I can find that. At least 50% of all members appointed by the board should be 60 or old, just 50%. So we're
in compliance.
Thanks,
I said we're in compliance.
We're in compliance. Yeah.
Me too. 63, May 1st.
I'm over.
Yeah, so am I.
When I started, I was. When I was 55, I was the youngest one.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, I got a good question about that we comply with what the Board of Supervisors policies, and we do that through Tricia. For example, like Freedom of Information Act, she mentioned that we should not be discussing business on our email, for example. We should, if we want to send something out to people, have Turi send it out to people. And if you want to have a vote or something, the vote goes to Terry, you know, but we don't discuss anything. All meetings have to be announced to the community. You have to know when we're meeting. This is a calendar. And then there's also should be conflict of interest. If there's anything, you know, if I'm a medical doctor and which I'm not, but I shouldn't be pushing my practice in here, you know, we're discussing things, that kind of stuff. So that has to be in here too.
Yeah, and
the code of ethics. Yeah. And part of that would be conflict of interest, and that we treat each other with respect. Meeting.
I would assume
that's
the answer.
Oh,
do we need to see the code of ethics? Is that what you mean?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask Tricia.
I kind of tend to dig down into the weeds. If the code is mentioned, I won't see it.
Okay, let me see what it says.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the...
can we get that? Yeah, we'll get
Tricia.
Yeah.
All right, that's good.
So if you are working on something that being on the commission would end up helping you, benefiting you, that's a conflict of interest.
Yes.
Right. So if you work somewhere,
Dr. Silverman, you know, she worked, but anything that she said didn't have, she never pushed our business for us. Okay. All right, and mention for your information, tells you what the AAA staff does. Went over that pretty detailed. And the meetings, we decided we just have to meet six times a year, and we've gone through that schedule. We decided the last meeting that we'd have a couple of times a while. And as far as meeting, if you're not able to attend the meeting, if a COA member cannot miss more than three consecutive meetings without a reason. I didn't say without a reason, just that they can't meet. This happens, the members are required to contact the chair, vice chair, or the staff liaison about their intent of remaining a member. That's what we're talking about. And you can only attend two meetings
remotely.
Virtually in the
remotely.
Can you go over the virtual meeting again? Because I had a problem last time.
Okay. All right.
How do you do it?
Okay. Dari, you want to talk about?
That, well, it would be WebEx, but you would have to ask Tricia.
But you said something that you have.
Well, okay.
I think we're talking about the calling in.
Oh, the calling in. Yes. Right. We have to have advance notice, too. We have to then contact the county lawyer, Mr. Sherwood, to approve and give your reason where you're going to be and a phone number that we will contact you.
Like the last time I had a work conflict, but that came up last minute, at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Yes.
And you can only take part if there's a quorum.
Correct. Physical quorum. Okay. You have to have a physical quorum. Yeah.
So if there wasn't a physical quorum, the meeting's dismissed? Like if you come and we
just have information session, we're just sharing.
Yes, just information.
Just session. No voting.
No voting. Yeah, no business can be conducted.
And we know we have the minutes meeting, and also all these meetings are recorded.
And it would be a meeting summary. We would not have an actual
minutes.
If it's just a
summary meeting.
Summary, if there isn't a physical. The county has to use WebEx. That's our platform. It's WebEx.
A little tricky, but we did do WebEx.
Yes.
That's another thing with senior work. Is we've been trying to push use of the internet for seniors, and it's hard. But to get information out to people and all this, but there are places like libraries will train people in how to use a laptop for senior. But yeah, the WebEx. WebEx, and what's the other one?
Zoom.
Yeah,
Zoom is no. We're not allowed to use that. Yes.
I just follow the link.
You like it? Okay. I like it.
Whatever the link says to do, I do.
Just click it. Yeah.
All right. And the other thing that I asked Terry to send out was the summary of what we did last year. Commission. I think it's the first time that.
List of accomplishments.
Done, which is really good. So you might want to take a look at that, some of the things that we accomplished last year. And. Like the Century Trail, we talked about the low-cost housing, working with the Department of Family Services, which started doing that. And the big thing is always letting the county, letting people know of all the great programs that are available.
Yes.
And, of course, a lot of them are subject to number of volunteers. It's a great opportunity for people to volunteer also. Mm-hmm. And we did hire a marketing team, right? They had a marketing team last year. It was the first time I think that came about. But
yes, they came and did a presentation.
Yeah.
Well, we've had a communications officer, right. Mm-hmm. So we have a marketing. We have it's called Marcom.
Yeah.
And they did the website.
Right. Yeah. Greg.
Craig Troxel.
Craig.
And Abby.
Yeah, listed all the guest speakers and. That's another thing we want to think about who we want up. So we know we're going to, in the future, we're going to have in June,
Mary Lou.
And, Mike Wilkins was on the commission. He's the techie that goes with
Michael. Yes.
He's
excellent.
That. And we talked about, also talked about having the tax guy here.
Yes, it'll probably be September because he is on another, he's starting on another mandatory board. Robert Works.
Yeah, so
he's phenomenal.
I was going to actually bring that up in my comments.
Okay.
But
if you got it,
yeah.
We'll have more on me.
Okay.
And the Works. And also, we're going to visit. We're looking at loud hunger relief.
Do you want me to give you that?
Yeah, I want it to be.
Let me just
give you
the. quick update on for future presentations. So Loud and Hunger, Tuesdays are one of their busiest days, so they cannot accommodate a tour or a volunteer experience that day. So May 14th is your next meeting, and there was a request to do that. They can accommodate a different day if you have another day in May that you would like to do a tour of Loud and Hunger. It wouldn't be one of your meetings, or if you'd like to do a volunteer experience. So think about that and then let us know and we can coordinate. Mm-hmm. But the other option was Echo. Echo came and spoke last year, and they have a site, and they are available on May 14th if you would like to do a tour of Echo.
What is Echo?
Every citizen has an opportunity. And it was Todd Goldin, and he spoke during, like, when COVID was, and they had to think of ways that they could keep going. He had the,
yeah,
like, the soaps, he brought that, and the dog biscuits.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Yes.
So he did a presentation with the family last year, and mm-hmm. he said that he can accommodate a tour on the 14th if you would like that. It's just an opportunity if you want to go that route.
Okay.
Wait,
it's my turn. Okay. And last thing I wanted to mention is that there's a daily incident report that the sheriff's office puts out. If you're not on that email distribution, I can find that. Anyway, they report incidents by region, you know, Sterling, Leesburg, whatever. Car break-ins, assaults, and it was a regular sheriff's report.
Scams.
But also the big thing that I, for us, is these scams. Mm-hmm. They keep showing the scam. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what people will fall for. It's something to get if you want to see and get on a district. Oh, here.
Unfortunately, I think if they become vulnerable, then they are falling for things more often. You know?
Yeah.
Anthony, yeah, if you would like.
I can
the link.
Website the link. It's on the beginning there.
Anthony, if you would like me to arrange, the sheriff's office, it can come and do a presentation for us at one meeting. They, like Matt Bressler used to, but I can find out who the new person would be, and they can address, like, the scams, spring flyers.
Right.
They are excellent.
And I know they go to the senior center.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you'd like me to.
Okay.
Okay. That's all I got.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just wanted to mention that our Commissioner of Revenue, Bob Wirtz, and Loudoun County Treasurer, Henry Eichelberg, they've gone around to different community centers, and they've done tax relief and tax exemption talks for age 65 and over. Because in Loudoun County, if you're 65 and you meet certain income criteria, there is a way to get a tax reduction. So I think I heard that you said they're going to come in to speak. So
yeah, you can do it right now.
Yeah, but I think this is great that they're doing that, because they do advertise that you can go in and speak to them at their offices. However, they've actually did the outreach and gone out into the community.
That's good.
So that was wonderful. That's all I have.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Lakeisha?
I have 8 things.
No, 10 things.
Okay, so I did complete my mandated reporter training. I know last meeting we were talking about that with Lucy, so I finally got that up the way.
What is that?
So if someone is being abused, or if I see something that I've completed the training to be able to report that through the county.
Oh, okay.
I think we all really can do stuff. But you mentioned there's some next meeting that there are some things that we could do, which was Echo. But it could be possibly go to the central kitchen and finally show our gratitude for, remember we talked about doing pizza or gift,
Faith
doing
that
lunch
brought that up.
Or, yeah,
Could we do that?
I'll ask Trisha.
Yeah, because it's been a couple of months since we've talked about it. So it'd be nice if we could do it finally. Yeah, that was one of the points. Do you remember?
What did you want to do? I'm sorry.
Remember we talked about going to the central kitchen and gifting or showing our gratitude and doing pizza, like providing lunch for them? We talked about that last year.
I don't remember
that. I don't either.
Oh, Faith wanted to do that.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't remember. I think they did do something, but not.
She
not
did?
COA, not COA.
Oh,
but
no.
Something was done, but... I just don't recall, but if you all want to do a tour that May 14th, instead of having a meeting on May 14th, I can ask Trisha.
And even if we just bring cookies, something just
show gratitude.
Right, yeah.
Cookies are good.
And a card. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have cookies.
Oh, yeah.
They do.
They give them off.
Oh, they have the best cookies.
Okay, and then... we talked about, you call that a field trip, right? I guess. Yes. Okay. So anyone have any thoughts on doing a tour, unless you've already been, but doing a tour and possibly doing like maybe an hour of volunteer work at Heritage Hall, which is the nursing facility in Leesburg. Any thought on that? Is something you all would want to consider? What I do know is they need help sometimes with their activity. So no one's saying anything, but think about it. It's a thought, but it's also an opportunity for us to have a presence. Right? Because I don't know that we have enough of a presence in the community. So it's another way of having a presence.
Sometimes it can be as simple as running a meeting.
Yeah.
Or even families that come visit. They like to do something, bingo or something.
Yeah,
bingo. Some of them just play goldfish.
Yeah.
Just flipping over cards. But,
okay, you'll be the coordinator from what to do that we'll go to you.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah. I'll figure that out.
Okay.
And perhaps just an hour. We can do a tour.
Where is this question?
It's in Leesburg.
Morven Park Road.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, as you're going out.
No, it'll take me a little bit to so I was just asking about hosting a caregiver or hosting a TED Talk or a lunch at the senior center. What are your thoughts individually on perhaps manning like a table there? Like my thought in my mind, my vision is that we would go to each senior center or maybe the adult day, if this is okay, whatever. And then we have someone from AAA will do a TED Talk. We'll have a table which will have snacks, right? But perhaps maybe the advisory boards there can provide croissants and juice and coffee, but we're there. Again, as a present to show that we are the COA, this is what we do. Whether it's one of us, whether it's three of us, whether it's all of us.
So I would say that if we do a caregiver program, we would just do it and then we couldn't, we could, because of our scheduling, it may not align. However, I can check with Trisha and the group on that. I think there is a rule though, if I'm not mistaken, about you can't have more than two of you at a table.
Yes, that's true.
So
yeah, just
correct.
Otherwise it's meeting. So
I think that's FOIA, right? But if we're there and volunteering,
if you are at a table, like if you have three COA members standing at a table, then that
constitutes a meeting.
Yeah.
We have to announce it publicly.
We didn't stand at a table, but we took a moment to introduce ourselves as the Loudoun Commission on Aging, and this is who we are, and this is what we do.
Or maybe it depends on where it is.
Yeah.
So if it's Ashburn, then I would go to that one. If it's whatever, you would go to that one.
Yes.
That was my original thought.
That would be
I think that would work.
And
so maybe
if
we had, if you sent us a list of where you'll be,
And we can say, okay, I can cover that one, or I can cover this one.
Sure.
So we have our, just so you know, our current, like the mental health first aid, we have some of our caregiver programs already lined up. And then I mentioned that we have this new person, so she's in the process of onboarding. And as soon as we have those dates, and if a lot of them are virtual, sometimes they're here, but I'll bring that to her attention about having them at
I think that would be a good way to
now.
And it's a good way for us to find out.
Yeah. If you ask questions. But with that, I know Mr. Rich mentioned getting business cards. Would we be able to get those cards?
We're in the process. We have to follow county if they have new kind of policy. So we're deciding what can go on the cards, and we're mandated by what can be put on there.
It wouldn't be personalized. It'd be just a card.
It's going to say like Commission on Aging. There'll be a spot where you can write in what information you might want to put in, like your cell or whatever, however you'd like to. That's in the process.
All right. I have two more. The other thing here is, what are your thoughts on adding? So I know that, I guess it's Alexandria City. So whatever commission that Mr. Mike Schuster is a part of, I don't remember which one that is. However, he was sharing with me that they have an advocacy group. And that advocacy group, he's a part of it. And they go to Richmond because of InVan to support InVan initiative. I mean, of course, I don't mind being the only one on the group. But what are your thoughts on having an advocacy group for that specifically, but then also in the community, just locally? Every time I mention something, they have to get really quiet.
They're thinking. Their brains.
Like, okay,
I think it's like time, and some of us work.
I don't know. I know what it would be for me, because I do plan to go to Richmond anyway, so I would represent COA there. But, that's me all day.
Maybe it's a subcommittee where we talk about what it, and then you take the flag down to Richmond.
I could do that,
maybe
right?
Something like that.
But then what about here locally?
That's what I'm saying. We have a subcommittee where we talk about some of the issues, and then you take the flag down to Richmond.
To Richmond or wherever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it's a subcommittee.
For a committee of the whole.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I can commit to kicking that off.
Okay. Committee of the whole.
Okay. So.
We can set aside a fine. Okay.
Yeah. When we find pressing issues.
Right, that we agree on.
But she's suggesting maybe we set us some time in our on our agenda to talk about not only existing things that they're taking, but things that they should take.
Yep. So now it's official. Gavel.
I mean, we don't always, we're allowed to talk when we meet.
We
got 15 minutes to cover.
Okay. I already did the other one. Thank you.
I just had one question for you. You mentioned the aging program specialist is certified. What is their certification?
The certification is information and referral in aging services. I have it, or I think what 90% of our team has it. It's a the organization changed the name, but it's a you have to study, you have to take an exam, and then you become certified. It's so that you're following the information and referral process to assist the aging population and also the disability.
Okay, so it's like a national service.
Yes.
Okay. That was my question. That's all I have.
Okay.
I've already done that.
I forgot one thing.
Yeah.
Last week.
It's 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. 2.5. You remember last week, Lucy and Rochelle asked me about guardianship? So I did end up taking on a guardianship.
Oh,
my word.
Oh,
yeah, that's cool. I might have lost
or I met him actually like 3 days after. And I took him
off. Thanks.
That's it.
You're really into a lot of
yes. That's not
hard.
And I'm raising
kids.
My kids
in the yes. Yes. Okay. She can be. Robin, it's your turn, or did you?
Yeah, I just had one question.
Okay.
Old business, new business.
Nope.
No business like business. Yes. Right. So, unless we have anything else to talk about, entertain a motion to adjourn.
I have one question. Okay. So, I just want to make sure. So, May meeting, you'd like to do the central kitchen tour instead of your May meeting. Is that correct?
It would be in yeah. I think
yes, it's
going to
be in lieu. Yes, it's going to be in lieu of.
Are you okay with that?
We're okay. Mm-hmm.
And what month in the summer are we off?
July and December.
Oh, July.
Yeah, we changed it this year.
So, and then where's the central kitchen?
It's right here.
It's right down the road. Not even
so would the time period be somewhere in between our regular commission meeting, right?
Yes.
Okay. Can we get to this? I'm not sure. I'll find
that. That was
that would be the whole meeting then?
Yes.
Instead of a meeting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In lieu of a meeting.
And Mr. Tony, you can come up with something great to say about how much we appreciate them.
And then, okay.
And then and you have Mary Lou Wilkins for VICAP in June.
Mm-hmm.
No meeting in July.
Okay. All right.
And possibly Heritage Hall at some point.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Oh, we're meeting. Yeah.
All right. Looking for a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Hi.
Thank you. One more time. Okay.
Who's seconded?
Yeah.
Did you second? Who seconded?
I do.
Okay.
Oh,
or no.
No, Robin motioned. Who seconded? Who's? Did you second?
I said, but I maybe somebody else said.